Our meeting format calls for a guest speaker followed by open discussion. Our guest speaker will share for 30 to 45 minutes before calling on people to share. It is now my pleasure to introduce tonight's chairperson, Robert from Visalia, who is celebrating 4 years today, guys.
Thank you. I'm gonna put my alarm on my timer so I don't have a tendency to ramble. So just FYI. So my name is Robert, and I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic. You might be saying, "What the hell does that mean?" Right? You know, well, I've recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body because of these steps, because of a higher power. You know, so 4 years to the day, I found myself sitting on the edge of a very uncomfortable hotel bed, the Supre over off Demery, pissed off, angry. And just hopeless. I couldn't get drunk. By the way, AA ruined drinking for me completely. I just want to let that be perfectly clear. My last drunk, I couldn't get drunk like I wanted to, and that made me angry. You know what I mean? So I found myself in pine detox for the last and final time. You know, how it used to be like, I'm not really going to talk too much about that because we all have a story, right? We all have a past. But, you know, I started drinking just like everybody does, you know, going to parties as a teenager, you know, trying to enjoy my drinking, drinking for effect, not for taste, you know, but something happened. So I crossed a line. The book talks about a line, right, being crossed. So that line for me was when I was in my mid-20s in Las Vegas. So I went to a bachelor party trip, yeah. So you already know where this is going, right? You know. So basically, like 4 straight days of drinking. Well, the thing about that, and that's all fine and dandy, but the thing that happened was when my friends came home, they stopped drinking. When I came home, I didn't stop. I kept going. And that's when I started to realize the difference. You know? So, of course, we have a progressive illness. It gets worse, never better. So my drinking got worse and worse and worse. I started losing more things, you know. And like we do, right? You know, I like to say that when I drink myself homeless, unemployed, destitute. Like I tell the guys at Pine, you know, sleeping at bus stops. I'm actually really bummed out that the bus stop got ripped out over on Murray there because I used to sleep there. You know what I mean? That's where alcohol took me, you know. So that's what it used to be like, you know, without going into too much detail. I basically prefer to go into what happens, right? You know? So what happens? So this is the third month of the year. So what's that? Step 3. You know, made a decision to turn our will and our life over the care of God as we understand Him. My whole life I've never made a decision at all, you know. This time I'm happy to say that I was desperate enough to make a decision because AA, getting sober, my higher power, that was it for me. I've burned every bridge possible. I mean, even people that enabled me and that co-signed all my bullshit, I burned those bridges. So no one wanted me. My parents, they're done with me. My friends are done with me. The only people that want anything to do with me was you guys, you know, my sponsor. And so, you know, I'm sitting there. I'm sitting in that uncomfortable detox bed at Pine. Maybe that's what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? I've been to a detox in one of the programs, you know. Glad you guys are in the house, by the way, you know, because I'm definitely one of you guys. I'm sitting there, you know, my sponsor comes in, he's pissed. My sponsor's a big dude. He's a sweet guy. I mean, I haven't seen him mad at all except for that day. I mean, he's just a teddy bear of a guy. But he was pissed. He comes up to me, and I start giving him the whole business. I start making excuses. I start blaming other people. He didn't want to hear that, okay? He straight up told me, he looked at me, he said, "Look," and I'm going to say this as nicely as possible because, you know, I'm not going to be super offensive, but he's like, "Look, you're the problem." He said it a lot more harsher than that. I'm going to tell you that. But when he said that, something changed. You know, I was desperate. I had that gift of desperation where something clicked. And I like to tell these guys too, you know, at Pine, I've never heard that in my entire life. No one's ever told me, "Hey, look, you're the problem." Maybe they did tell me. I wasn't in the frame of mind to actually hear that. But that time, you know, God was able to work through me and in me. You know, I entered my life completely. So I was like, "Oh, crap. You know what? I am the problem." And I hate to admit that. That sounds very naive, but really, that at that point, 4 years ago, you know, that day, I didn't realize I was a problem until then. So I got eager. You know, since I was a problem, I was looking for a solution. Well, what was the solution? You know, Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, my sponsor was like, "Well, what do you need, man? Because you keep relapsing. Do you need primary purpose? Do you need this? Do you need that?" I'm like, "No, I actually need to sit down and do the steps." So guess what? That's what I did. You know what I mean? It sounds, it's a simple, but not easy program, right? I just never followed it or made that decision, right? So I got into it, you know. I've done steps 1, 2, and 3 several times. I'll play that right now. You know what I mean? Say some stuff, do some stuff my sponsor wants me to do, you know. But this time, I actually realized what steps 1, 2, and 3 mean. What it means to be powerless, what it means to have a power greater than yourself. And again, that was all I had left. You know, Pine was the last house on the block for me. All I had to go was up, and all I had to rely on was a power greater than myself that helped me, save me from myself. Which is the whole point of the big book, you know, is to find that loving higher power that's going to save you from it. So I got into it, and I got thorough, and I got hungry. You could say thirsty, you know, to get through it, you know, no pun intended, right? Kind of lame, but whatever. You know what I mean? It was the truth. So I got into it, you know. I did that third step, and I made that decision to turn my will and my life with the care of God as I understand Him. And that, to me, is not an easy thing to do, nor is it a thing to take very lightly. Because when I say that means, hey, check it out. God's in the driver's seat. I'm in the passenger seat. I don't worry about the outcome because I have to do the footwork. God's got the outcome, you know, which has been really hard for me because, you know, lack of control is our problem a lot of times. We want to control people, places, and things. The book talks about, you know, like, you know, being the director and making the lights and making it look good and only if people will do what I tell them to do, then it's going to be fine. Well, guess what? That never worked. It never worked, man. So, you know, I got into it. I got to that 4-step, you know, and I was doing it, and I found a lot of things about myself that I didn't like. I'm not a very good person. The guys know me. I'm a very, very, I'm a pretty cool guy. You know what I mean? I like to say so myself, but I am not a good person. I've harmed a lot of people. I'm afraid of a lot of things. I have a lot of resentments. I'm pissed off at a lot of people, places, and things. My conduct is just abhorrent, terrible. And again, like, I've harmed a lot of people. So seeing that was an eye-opener, you know, and I got through that, you know. And I did that, and I asked for help and strength, knowledge from my higher power, but the people that have made me who I am today, you know, people in this room, people that I've asked questions and I've bugged them, and what do I do, you know, and they steered me right, you know. And I kept going, and I kept going. And the 5th step, you know, is one of the best experiences I can ever explain. You know, so not only when I do that 3rd step and I make that decision, so that decision also tells me when I sign that contract with God, verbally or otherwise, that I'm going to now take my 4th step, all this dirt and all these things, my deepest, darkest secrets, and I'm going to go and I'm going to tell my sponsor about them. Yeah, that sucks. That's nerve-wracking, but I made that decision to do that. That was like, that's part and parcel of the deal, right? And then the unburdening I felt was just amazing. So it's something I cannot describe, you know. Because of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I'm in awe of not only things that happened in my life, but things I happen to see in your guys' lives on a constant basis. I may not know all of you, but those of you I know, I've seen God work in your lives, whether you know it or not, and it's amazing. You know, that's just fantastic to me. So that's what happened, man. You know, I did the steps. I did what was suggested of me. You know, I used to think that if I did my sponsor's recovery, that I'd be fine. Well, I can't do that, man. I got to do my recovery. I had to find out my recovery. I used to try to intellectualize the big book and the steps like it was a... I like that you said you emphasized science, Jay. I thought that was cool. Because I used to think like that, formulaic. Like, well, if only I do this and this and I do that, then you know what? That equals recovery. That equals sobriety. Well, your higher power doesn't work like that. Spirituality, faith, you know, surrender doesn't work like that. So, you know, I did that, you know. I kept going. Finished my steps, continue to work 10, 11, and 12 every day. My wife's right here, and she's she receives more of my 10-step amends than anybody else. You know what I mean? Because she's closest to me, you know. But that's me doing step four over again, you know. You know, and what it's like now, you know, my sponsor used to tell me, is like, you know what, I asked to ask him, hey man, how you doing, Louie? He'd be like, well, better than I deserve. And I'm like, what do you mean, dude? You know, your life's awesome, dude. And I know what he means now today. I can seriously sit here and say, dude, I have a life better than I deserve, because if you were to see my 4-step and know my past, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be alive. Heck, I'm lucky I am alive. And that's one of those things where the change happens, you know. I used to, when I used to come to, because I'd never wake up, right? I'd pass out and I'd come to. But when I'd come to, you know, I'd be angry that I came to, you know. I didn't want to live. Life was miserable for me. Life was always gray. you know. Working these steps and working with others and hearing stories, you know, life's beautiful today. Don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. And that's the cool thing. I get to be in this program. I get to work these steps. And guess what? I get to not wallow in, but I get to accept the fact that, guess what? I'm not perfect. And I'll never be perfect. That's awesome. Thank God I'm not perfect. I'll never attain perfect. And that's cool because I'm super imperfect. And so I get to be myself and work these steps and continue to work on myself, which is great. You know, for me, sponsorship has been the best thing possible. Step 12, you know, we're carrying the message of the alcoholic still suffers, you know. And that to me is not only as somebody who loves and adores my sponsor, who's now a member of like my family. You know, my sponsor's at my wedding, you know. And when I first started working with them, I'm like, how am I going to relate to this guy? I've never done that. I've looked at all the differences. Oh, by the way, yeah, don't do what I did and sit in the AA meeting and look at all the differences of everybody. Don't do that. Try not to. I'm just going to behoove you. Try not to do that, please, because that's what I did. I went to the Alana Club and I looked at everybody my first time in the rooms, because it's not my first room in the rooms, obviously, you know, and I'm looking at everybody. I'm like, I'm not as jacked up as you. Dude, you're way messed up. Why are you even talking about that? That was me in early recovery. I used to do that. I used to judge, and instead of hearing a message, I would hear a mess every time. Didn't matter who they were or what they spoke about. You know, my heart was not open to that. You know, and our program here is a language of the heart. It's an inside-out job. You know, to change the outside, we got to change the inside. You know, so, it's crazy how life works out and how, you know, our higher powers have a plan for us. You know, 517, if you ever want to read a really good part in the big book, read Acceptance is the Answer in the back. I used to get really angry at my sponsor because I think in early recovery that he was like my therapist, and he'd be like, hey, Louis, help me solve these problems of life and stuff, you know what I mean? And he'd be like, look, read 517, read it. He wouldn't give me an answer. He wouldn't solve the problem for me. He'd say, hey, read the book. I'm like, damn, all right. But absolutely, you know, and part of that is, you know, God doesn't make mistakes. So wherever you are, however you are, however you got here, you know, whatever your circumstances now, it's not a mistake, man. You know, we're all here for a reason. We all have a sense of purpose and direction, and I get to have a sense of purpose today. I get to matter and do things and help others, you know. Typically, about my character, I don't like people. I'll tell the pie guys, hey, I'm like, by my character, my history, I don't like people. I manipulate people. I use people for my own benefit. You know, I don't care about how you're feeling because all I care about is me. It's selfish, self-seeking, you know, the bedevilments, right? You know, I was the tornado that was in everybody's life, and I didn't care about how anybody felt because guess what? It was all about me. I was the center of my own universe, right? Well, because of AA and the steps and loving higher power and you guys, I care about people today. What the hell is that, man? I care about it's crazy. I care about others today. I like to see others do good, to come back in the rooms, to see that kind of spark that I had. You know, it's harder to see it in myself, but it's easier now to see that in others. And that fuels me today. That is awesome. That, you know, when they say it that, you know, this is an experience you should not miss, they're not kidding about that. You know, there's a lot of, like, cliche things in the rooms and in this program, and I used to think they're all hokey and dumb and stuff, but it's true. You know what I mean? They say it for a reason. A lot of it's repetitive because we need that for it to stick in our minds. So when we're alone in our thoughts, those things pop into our head. I'm telling you, AA will ruin your drinking forever. Because last time I was sitting there on that, uncomfortable Super 8 hotel bed trying to get drunk, you know, all I could think about was AA, the people in AA, my sponsor, even though I was ignoring his phone calls, didn't want to talk to him, you know, God forbid I, you know, ask for help, you know, all I was thinking about was the rooms, people in the rooms, my friends, people that actually care about me, you know, and that sucks. When you're trying to get drunk, man, that sucks. It's not going to work, you know, so I'm grateful for that because, like as the book says, alcohol became the great persuader for me, you know. Go figure, right? You know, it took me being an alcoholic, you know, to be closer to God than I ever had been, you know, a power greater myself, be closer to others, to have a purpose and a drive, you know, go from sleeping at bus stops, not caring about myself or anybody else, to be in a position where I can help others. And I get to work with men that are just like me, you know. Pine, being at Pine three different times, now I work at Pine today, you know. That's crazy. Who does that? You know what I mean? How does that happen? You know what I mean? That's amazing, you know. I'm just happy they kept accepting me over and over again. Because they're the people that didn't turn me away. AA didn't turn me away either. You know what I mean? I was always welcomed back with open arms. You know, my own parents didn't even do that. They're like done with me. They're like, dude, you can't, you know, shut the door in my face. You know, we don't want you anymore. But AA never did that to me. You know, and so that's one of those things that I'm continuously in awe of. You know, I definitely feel like I have a life that I do not deserve today. You know, and I'm here. I'm put in a position to help others because in helping others, I help myself. That's the selfish aspect of this program. You know, I've heard people say, oh, yeah, selfish this. No, it's selfish because it's altruistic. That means, you know, I'm helping someone else. I'm going to help myself. I'm going to get what I need by helping others. You know, you don't have a... it's not selfish. You don't have our self-centered motives behind helping others. Just do it because it's going to help you too. But also it's the right thing to do. You know? You know, the book talks about psychic change. I used to think, so I love when, in chapter 5 is how it works. It's rarely have we seen a person fail. It was I used to sit in the rooms and be like, that is BS. There's no way. Yeah, right. Okay. You know? But absolutely. You know what I mean? Every single person I've seen be successful, and that's what really I hated myself because I never did that, was they go to meetings, they work, they do the steps, and guess what? They work with others. You know? I see a common thread. Those three things, guess what? Ends up people getting a thing sober. You know? And I never really got that. You know? I wasn't willing to do the work or willing to really surrender. You know? And I'm glad I got the gift of desperation the book talks about. So, you know, let's see. What else did I say? How much time I got? Sorry. Oh, well, I still got like, okay, 15 minutes. Okay, well, you know.
Tell us what your sponsor said to you.
Oh, I did. I said it really nicely what he said to me. Graphically? Dude, I don't know. I mean, can I do that? Okay. All right. Okay. So, I'm sitting there. He's pissed off. The guy, because at Pine, we used to have this, I don't know if you guys are some of the old school Pine guys, or you know what it is. It's sober station. So many to watch you detox, right? So the guy was watching, since he felt the vibe coming in the room as my sponsor walked, he's like, I'm out of here. Sorry, dude. And he closed the door behind him. And he was like, look, he's like, it's not alcohol. It's not women. He's like, you. He's like, you are the fucking problem. He looked me dead in the eyes and told me that. And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, and it changed me. You know what I mean? That's nothing like my dad hasn't said to me or people have said to me, but like it changed. Like something was different about that time. Again, that gift of desperation, I heard it differently, if that makes any sense. It hit differently. You know? Not only is somebody that I admire, but, you know, from then I was honest. You know? I was never honest, by the way. In my first couple times in recovery, in the rooms, never honest. Ever. I lied to my sponsor. Oh, yeah, I can't go to the meeting because, I'm sick. No, I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to do some old behavior type stuff. You can fill in the blanks if you'd like. You know what I mean? But, so I broke down and I started crying. And I'm like, Louie, I'm sorry. You know, I lied to you and I was doing this. And I was really over at this chick's house and I was supposed to be over here. And he was just like, okay. He's like, all right. Oh, there come the lights. All right, let there be light. All right. Yeah, that's a nice little segue right there. But, you know, it started off me being honest finally because, again, I got that broke me down, you know. So the book talks about, you know, melting that icy intellectual mountain, right? Well, that melted my mountain right there, my intellectual mountain, right? So I was in tears. I'm like, yeah, I started being honest from that day forward. And I've never been honest in my entire life, completely honest. I'm the kind of person, by my character, that I'm only honest if I can get something out of it. So I'm honest to a point where I can manipulate, I can it can benefit me, you know. But that was the first time in my life, and I can say that with a straight face, first time in my life that I was honest for the sake of being honest, you know, truly honest. And he's, you know, and my sponsor was like, you know, I should probably drop you. And I was like, you probably should. But guess what? He didn't drop me. He said, you know what? We're gonna give this another try. And that's amazing, man. You know? For all this, and that's what the rooms of AA can show you, can provide you, is the people that are going to love you till you love yourself. I didn't deserve that. Dude, I'm... no, you know? But here's this man who's taking time off work to drop my ass off at detox for, like, the last time, and to sit there and go over the book with me. And that meant more to me, though. I didn't appreciate it at first. Believe me, my first two times through Pine in the rooms, I didn't care. You know what I mean? It was a chore to me. Him coming... We used to go, this meeting was over on Sequoia every Sunday. So Sunday would be this meeting, and then Monday would be Men's Stag, back to back. And I used to be, oh man, I got to go to these meetings. Oh, it's a pain in the ass. I got to go to those meetings because he took time out of his day to take me there. You know, holy shit, what's going on, man? Spiritual experience, yeah. Possibly, you know. So that's one of those things. It's you know, a huge part of my life is right is wrapped up in AA. You know, I'm not perfect again. I don't go to as many meetings as I appreciate Bill. Thank you for having me. Thank you for asking me. It's good to see so many familiar faces. I don't get to go to as many meetings as I'd like to, but when I have an opportunity to speak and tell my story, I jump at it. You know, I'm nervous. Don't get me wrong. Every time I got a couple of years sober, and I've done the Ice House meeting, you know, the Valley Group, and that gets nerve-wracking, right, you know? It never gets easier, but I get to do this. I get to feel uncomfortable. I get to get nervous, because, you know, it's a good nervous, right? You know? That's what I got. This is why I don't prepare. Like, that's one of those things I, like, used to, you know, get a notebook and, like, would write something out. I just, you know... Wing it, yeah. Maybe I should have went back into my, like, what used to be like. I don't know. Guess I can...
Right here, style.
Huh?
Freestyle.
I'm doing it right now. Oh, that's a good question, dude. Yeah, thank you. So, my steps. So basically, like, the four step, it took me, my sponsors, like, you could do it in, like, a month. It took me a couple months. I mean, because I want to be as thorough as I can. And again... I reached out to my support group, my brothers in sponsorship, my sponsor, friends I know who did the steps and they're sponsoring. I'm like, what do I do on there? You know? And one of the best pieces of advice I got was to put yourself on that resentment list, you know? And I realized, I'm at myself, dude. I hate myself because I can't stay sober. I can't hold down a job anymore. I can't have good, constructive, healthy relationships all because of me, you know? And that was major. But yeah, you know, all in all, I mean... It took me a good chunk of my first year of sobriety to do steps 1 through 9. I mean, I still have amends I need to make, you know. There's amends I can't make, you know, that I can just do living amends. You know, people have passed away or people that don't want to see me, you know. Because we do damage out there, right? And there's people that straight up do not want, if I died tomorrow, they'd probably be okay with it. You know what I mean? And rightfully so. I've heard a lot of people, you know. But yeah, it was a process. You know, and that's one of those things too is just trust the process. You know, my grand sponsor's got like 30 years. He's a good dude. You know, and he has one good piece of advice. He's like, don't quit before the miracle happens. And again, don't be like me and quit before the miracle happens. I've done that one too many times. Just, it's gonna suck. It's gonna get awkward. Just get comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know, I didn't even want to be back in the rooms this last time. I wanted to run away. Like, if I could have, if I had that opportunity, I would have been gone. I would have just left Pine and just ran away, but I was forced to deal with myself, you know, and that sucked. But, you know, again, making that decision, right, you know, I'm going to do this, and so therefore I'm going to rely on my higher power. And when you do something like your four step, you know, I can't drink no more, so alcohol is out. The obsession's been lifted, but what can I do in order to help me be okay is I have to rely on a power greater myself. Because I don't have the power to do it. That's one of those things where, you know, the self-propulsion, right, it talks about. I used to think that, yeah, that's kind of trippy, dude. I like that. Hope nobody's epileptic or anything. That'd be all bad. Right? The poltergeist, man. What's going on? Oh, weird crap's happening today. Okay. Oh, man.
Positive signs,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, this is kind of off topic. This is a reminder that I saw a double rainbow today driving home from work, and I'm like, it's awesome, right? And I was like, wow, you know, I can appreciate things like that today. That's pretty neat. But yeah, I guess, since I'm kind of like all out of steam, man, I didn't plan very good.
LSD.
LSD. Not for a very long time. Not for that's another story. That's my 12-step program. Anybody else got any questions, I guess? Yes.
So, at your 90 days, how did you feel, like, mentally?
My 90 days mentally? It sucked. I mean, you know, because I am having to deal with my emotions. This is the thing. You know, I've numbed myself alcohol my whole entire life, pretty much, and so I never got a chance to feel emotions actually as they are. So, my from the time I got sober, the first week to the first 3 months, it was tough. But again, you know, going back to step three, you know, I made a decision. So what? No matter what, I'm gonna turn this over to a higher power, because honestly, I can't do anything about it. If I could have, I would have. Alcohol wouldn't have played a part in my life, right? My story. I wouldn't have had to have anything to numb myself, you know, which I don't today. But it was awkward and it was uncomfortable. But you know what? That's one of the cool things about recovery. If it's awkward and it's uncomfortable, you're doing something right. You know, if you're complacent and things are going swell, hold on. You know, not everything's going to be perfect, but that's okay, because, you know, we learned that, hey, no matter what, we don't have to drink today. Because we go through a hard day. You know what I mean? Tell that to me freaking 10 years ago. Yeah, that wouldn't have been the case. I've been like, you're full of shit, dude. There's no way. I can't even go one day without drinking. You know what I mean? It's pretty neat.
How did you continue your drive, like, to continue to want to move forward?
Oh, absolutely. That's awesome. That's sort of the question.
You felt dull and numb, you know, just...
Yeah, so here it is. So, you know, a lot of times, again, I'm not perfect. I have a whole lot of rocks I need to drop yet, but in early recovery, you know, I'd see situations where I'd want to judge them. Like, I'd see people freaking drunk. I'm like, man, look, in my mind, I'm about to say, oh, look at this drunk person, SOB or whatever. But then a voice would pop in my head saying, hey, pray for that person. I'm like, whoa, that's not for me. What the hell's that? And that's a higher power. So that kind of like, okay, all right, touche, God, you know, you're speaking to me now. Okay. That furthered me. I'm like, there's something to this. You know what I mean? I'm able to go through life and not drink. It's uncomfortable, but you know what? Something's keeping me going, and that something's a higher power. Higher power showed me working through people. You know, either I was going crazy or a higher power was working my life. All I had to believe was the latter, you know?
Yeah.
So that kept me going. Again, I'm constantly in awe today. You know? I'm not bored with this. Like, this is, I mean, I may be kind of a wreck all over the place right now because I wasn't, you know, unplanned, but that's okay. I'm an alcoholic. What do you expect? You know? I'm in awe today, not by just things that I see, but what people go through, people like overcoming insurmountable odds. And I work in a position where I see that every day. I get to see bad, and I get to see good, but mostly I get to see good. I get to see people completely reinvent themselves. That's awesome. You know, unfortunately, I see a lot of bad too. You know, I see the opposite side of it. What's up?
Do you have fear?
Of course. Yeah, heck yeah.
What's your biggest fear right now?
So my biggest fear. Oh, that's a good question. So this is how my crazy alcoholic mind works. Okay, this is how the crazy alcoholic mind, Robert P., works. So I could be in a room like this. There are so many friends I have, so many acquaintances I have. I look around and I see so many people I know, not only on a first name basis, but I know personally. I can sit here and I can feel completely alone. And my mind will tell me I don't belong. I do not, what's it called? I shouldn't be here. I should just shut up and stop talking. That's what my mind tells me. You know what I mean? That sucks. So I fear that. I fear maybe being judged or what have you. You know what I mean? Not belonging, even though I belong. Because guess what? I have an awesome desire to stop drinking. You know, I belong. Each and every one of you belong here. You know, it's pretty cool.
Awesome.
What's up, Christian? Howdy, by name, sorry.
You mentioned time for 3 times and last time using the hotel there.
Yeah.
What made you first come to senses the first time you went into finds that knowing that you are an alcoholic?
The first time?
Yeah. What made you just come to senses like, damn, I am a damn drinker and, you know, I need recovery?
Desperation.
Hey, Robert,
yeah.
Could you repeat the question, because the microphone's up?
Oh, yes. So he wanted to know what kind of got me into wanting to get sober the first time, correct? Somewhat. It was kind of the abridged version, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, there's a couple things. Desperation. I wasn't living in a good situation, so it was a way out. I just got out of jail. You know, that didn't keep me sober. You know, I couldn't stay sober on my own. So I decided to try something else, you know. I was starting to be made very unwelcome the place I was at. So, you know, when in doubt, try something new, right? You know. Yes. Yes. Hello.
I do have a question. When you came in this last time, were you still holding on to any old ideas?
Absolutely. Thank you. That. Thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate that. Absolutely. And this is even, what's it called, after I started working my four step and started getting more into the book and more connected to the higher power? Absolutely, 100%. A lot of my decisions that I made that are good started out by me doing the same old crap I always do. Not going to lie. Same old stuff. Trying to do the... I used to think like this, that... I could be the same old Robert, just not drink. Doesn't work like that. But I tried. I really tried to be. Well, my wife's laughing because she knows. But I tried to be the same. I tried to be the same old guy. It didn't work for me. That's not compatible. So me being the old guy, you know, with the old insanity, and me being this new person, in the all of a sudden, right? You know what I mean? Weren't compatible. So I'm like, well, you know. That's a reflection process, too. That four-step, coming back to it, I'm like, I don't really want to be that guy anymore. I'm hard-headed, though. I'm a slow learner. It takes me a long time to realize, dude, you know?
Yeah, we're here.
Logan.
Yes. What's up, Logan?
Thanks for your chair.
Yeah.
I want to say thank you. You were my first guy at Pine.
I was.
You gave me my first name.
Yeah.
It's
good.
So I didn't sit down and talk with you as much as I should have. I came to realize that you took your recovery serious.
Awesome.
You always have good words of wisdom. I definitely relate to a lot of things you say.
Of course. It's my pleasure, dude. Absolutely. And that's one of those things where I live for that. But don't use your big book as a coaster or like to stash money or anything like I used to, because believe me, I said I would never do that, and I did. So it's not a very good coaster anyway. No. Yes, literally I would. I wasn't exaggerating, dude. It's an honest program, man. So. Yeah. Could do that too, yeah. It's best if you open it, read all the black parts in it, you know what I mean? You know? First 34 pages. Yes.
I'm an alcoholic.
Yes, honey.
What was the biggest hurdle you faced when transitioning from just being a part of this recovery, right, and working in the field that you work in?
The biggest hurdle.
Repeat the question.
Yeah, of course. The biggest hurdle that I had transitioning from being like a recovery home to working in the field? That's a good question. And probably all kind of points down to, myself, you know, dealing with those feelings every day. Again, you know, not only just going to school, but trying to better myself. Every day I got to wake up and I got to deal with this crazy alcoholic mind that I call Robert P., you know what I mean, that's out there to kill me, you know what I mean, by filling my mind with a bunch of nonsense that I know is not true. I have to deal with that on a daily basis, even now, you know what I mean? Took a lot of praying. A lot of really good people around me, you know what I mean? I couldn't do it without you guys. I couldn't do it without the rooms of AA. I couldn't, simply put. I could not. I've tried. It doesn't work. But yeah, definitely being alone, my thoughts, just overcoming that, or trying to overcome that on a daily basis.
I have another question.
Yes.
Going back to the old ideas, within this 4 years of your sobriety, Where did you tend to let go of those old ideas, and do you still have hanging on to some of the old ideas?
Very good. So, how did I let go of those old ideas, and am I still hanging on to some? Well, again, I'm a slow learner, so trying to do the same thing over and over again, right? The only explanation I have is that God put people and things in my way to show me, look, dude, you're being stupid right now. You're making a fool of yourself. I had some reflection, you know, and I'm like, that's not cool. You know what I mean? Again, it took me a while to be like, hey, stop doing that, you know? But, yeah, I was showed that what I was doing was not cool. And I felt really convicted, and I felt really really grimy about it, you know? So, of course, yeah, I mean, you know, I have thoughts, and I have, you know, certain ways of thinking, like entitlement, for example, that I struggle with, you know? Like I said, if you want to know, just ask my wife. She knows everything. Believe me, she knows. Maybe too much. What's up, Tyler?
Excuse me for putting it into an interesting question, but your wife gets terminal cancer. Do you drink?
Absolutely not.
What about you?
Me?
What if you get foretold you have 3 months to live?
No. It's not going to make nothing better.
Yeah.
I drank most of my life. How was drinking for 3 months going to help anything?